You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Welcome to Game Geeks, where we take a look at the latest events in video, card, and tabletop games.
Yes, indeed. Hello, and welcome to episode number 15 of the Gamer Geeks podcast, recorded March 26, 2017. I'm your host, CJ, trying not to stumble over editing notes during my introduction, boats. And joining me, of course, as always, are Roland Delbert. Hello, fellows.
What's up?
Greetings.
Oh, man. So I don't want to spend too much time on the introduction because we got a lot of stuff to discover. I'm doing my PAX East recap this week. So we are going to just really quick go ahead and dive right into the news. But before that happens, real quick, let's take a lesson from our sponsors. Stay tuned. And we're back. No time to waste.
On to the news.
I mean, we got a lot of stuff to go over, so I'm trying to kind of speed through this. So, you guys, our favorite big box video game store is in trouble.
It's been in trouble.
Yeah, it's real bad this year, though. GameStop is set to close up to 225 stores nationwide this year, citing a incredible loss in the fourth quarter last year, based primarily on low-performing AAA titles, which they put a lot of money into marketing, No Man's Sky, and also not performing as well as other chains in Black Friday sales. Obviously, there's 1,700 or plus stores in the United States, so it's only closing a small portion of them, probably the least performing stores. No date set on those closures.
It's probably in those cities that have like three or four GameStops.
Or, you know, like 10 or so, like Delbert and I have here.
I swear to God, if they close the one at Largo Mall.
Yeah, don't close the one at Largo Mall.
You don't have to fight.
Yeah, that is one I will picket, man. Like that's no. Don't close mine. You can close the other one. Don't close that one.
Well, yeah, like San Antonio, every mall has one that's like four malls, and then there's like five spread across all over town. So yeah, I think they can afford to close a few of them.
Yeah, it's a matter of just overinflation, I think, and it's kind of a artifact of when they were the only game in town before Amazon took over. So
it's probably similar to what happened to Starbucks a few years back too.
Yeah. Yeah,
too many in one place that they just start, you know, watering down the experience.
Exactly. So I mean, it's kind of the ebb and flow of things, and it's such a small number that I'm not too concerned with it. It's not like they claim bankruptcy or anything like that.
Not yet.
I doubt that'll happen. They're still the number one video game seller.
Yeah.
So they're not in any trouble of actually going out of business, but you know, trimming the fat is needed sometimes. Mm-hmm. They survived the entire recession without closing one store. So, all right. Moving on from there, just real quick note, since we talked about this last week, Conan Exiles, the weird World of Warcraft Horizon Zero Dawn Conan game with the dong slider, has got a new patch, adding 8 new weapons, an entirely new die system, and a bunch more stuff. Another one of you guys play Conan Exiles, do you?
I've heard about it. I haven't gotten into it.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I'm not a real fan of the what's it called? What's the other one called? The
Ark
type games where Like, I played Minecraft for a few hours, but that's pretty much my experience with those open world builder games.
That's fair. I mean, I played some at PAX East, not enough even to really give it a review, but it's fun if you're into those kind of games. But yeah, that has to be your cup of tea, or else you're not really going to do much with it.
Yeah. Also, what I've seen is like at least Ark. I'm sure Conan's the same way. Like, everything is scaled to the higher level stuff.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
So you start the game off, you're like, I can do this. No, you're going to get slaughtered by everything for the next 20 hours.
Yeah, it is a matter. I died 7 times in the 20 minutes that I played the game at PAX East, and then I got frustrated. I'm just like, I'm out. I can't do this.
Yeah. At least with Minecraft, you know what you're getting into from the beginning, and it doesn't really change much as you go through it.
However, I did leave Hedvig and his angry inch for the next person that took over, so... because sometimes I'm 12, especially at PAX.
Just sometimes you're 12.
Sometimes. Sometimes I'm 15. And other times I'm 21 because I'm legally able to drink. But yeah, so that's just something that came across my radar. If you play it, be prepared for some die systems. Other than that, what else we got, Raul?
We have Outlast 2 is good to go in Australia. Apparently, it was banned 1 week and then it got past the board the very next week without changing anything.
Yeah, Australia is super weird about games. If it's labeled with an 18 plus rating, sometimes it'll just kind of be held for 2 weeks to see if, like, they will put it in front of, like, their, Dale has a word for them, but basically it is their board of conservatives. And if they give it a majority, then they'll go ahead and pass it through.
Well, without going into much spoilers, there was a Berserk-esque scene in it.
Yeah.
let's not go too far into that one.
No, because that scene still kind of creeps me out. But and by that, it takes a lot to creep me out. And that scene just like, oh,
from the new series.
Yes.
Yeah.
It went from zero to, oh my God, in like 3 seconds.
Oh.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So yeah, apparently it's all right. Implied sexual violence, by the way. So there you go. Take that as you will. But good job, Australia, on having fewer restrictions on your games.
And to elaborate slightly from what I read, they didn't actually ban it. They just refused to rate it.
Yeah,
same thing
with anything in like the ESRB with AO games, as can be seen if you follow the trials and tribulations of Yandere Simulator.
I love that game.
if you follow any of that, the US kind of has a problem with that as well. But Australia did, like I said, they have a governmental body that looks at those kind of things, and Dale lovingly calls them their table of conservatives.
So I take it the conservative group in Australia has been in power for a while?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into any of the political mess because it is quite a political mess over there, but their main body is the Conservative Party.
Political mess over there. Have you seen the news?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's go into the next story.
Earlier last week, or earlier, I say about Thursday, apparently the Italian retailer leaked. I can't speak right now. It leaked Destiny 2 info. They leaked a poster for Destiny 2.
Doesn't they are never getting anything ever again.
It happened recently. It was last year with
Bungie thing. Like this same thing happened. This thing, same thing happens like every time Bungie releases a major thing. So at this point, I think Bungie is just like, "Yep, hey, it's free news. We didn't have to pay for you guys."
But yeah, so it hints at an upcoming beta, which is exciting. It also seems to be hinting that the it doesn't actually say anything, but I've also heard speculation that it's going to be continuing the PlayStation slant. So PlayStation probably can get the beta first.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other stuff.
Microsoft must have really pissed off Bungie, by the way. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, what was it? Halo 3 was supposed to be the last one, and they're like, no, you're making 4. And then it just
and
went
then
down.
Five.
Yeah, and then yeah, it just
wait,
went
no,
down.
Wait, no. Bungie's now not making Halo anymore.
I know, but...
But the contract was supposed to end after 3. That was the end of the arc, and then Microsoft's like, nope, we are just going to keep making games with or without you, and then Bungie's like, F you, now we're a PlayStation first party.
Yeah, it's presumably because Microsoft took control of the Halo property from Bungie.
Yeah, there was real bad contract issues going on.
Isn't Destiny on Xbox as well?
It is, but it was third to come out there. It was PlayStation, then PC, and then PlayStation, Xbox, and then PC. So second to come out, but it was timed.
It never came out for PC.
Oh
never
yeah, it's being announced for PC.
This next one is hopefully.
Yeah, this next one is yes, it is definitely coming to PC.
Yeah,
and then it's going to really get popular because PC.
Yeah.
I mean, I like what Destiny has become.
I kind of like the description someone told me. It's halfway between Call of Duty and WoW.
Yeah,
I would say halfway. Probably leaning more to a Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely. I wouldn't say Call of Duty. At least I didn't play. I didn't do the PvP, so I can't speak for that. But the PvE part of it definitely felt more. It was definitely a Halo cross with WoW. Which I was good with. My
World of Halo.
I were best buddies for a while.
Then, next up, we've got Pokemon Go back in the news.
Yay!
they are doing like a water event right now where water Pokemon are more prevalent. Yeah. And there's another cool thing that's out. Shiny Magikarp.
Yes!
And yes, when it evolves, it does become Red Gyarados, from what I've been told.
Yes, it does.
But there's just one problem with this. And
yes!
I don't think Niantic thought about this, but Magikarp is one of the Pokemon that Ditto can transform into.
Oh.
Yep.
And people are catching Shiny Magikarp only for it to be a Ditto.
Yes. Shiny Magikarp has approximately a 1 in 800 chance of appearing every time a Magikarp appears. And Ditto is a 1 in 20 chance of anything appearing from one of the mons that it can evolve or can transform from.
Yeah. There's a lot of people angry about it.
I watched a video. I'm fairly sure it was... No. I watched a video of a guy catch one and did that and just threw his phone. I'm like, yeah, I would too.
But yeah, I feel like they're probably going to patch it and add like a small addendum where if it's a shiny Magikarp and it's a Ditto, it becomes a shiny Ditto. I think that'd be a good compromise.
Or just because, okay, Niantic has a problem with not you. Okay. Programming nerd. Hat on. All right. Niantic has a problem with not using their variables correctly. So they have a variable stating that, hey, the ball is in the air because you can modify it recognizes nice throws, curveballs, things like that. So obviously the throw trajectory is there. However, when a ball is getting ready to hit a bond, it can still attack. That's stupid. Don't have that happen. Secondly, the shiny trigger is indeed a variable. I know this because it has to be. So, just trigger Ditto's transformation not to appear on a shiny.
Yeah, well. Niantic is just there to ruin everyone's lives.
It is.
That's all it's there for.
That has tapioca pudding. What else we got?
The last thing is, I mentioned a few weeks ago the Ryzen CPUs from AMD. Rumors surfaced earlier this week of a 16-core, 32-thread Ryzen processor. when it was reported, it said the chip would run at 2.4 gigahertz to 2.8.
Good lord.
But there is now a new rumor attached to the 16 core that says some of the engineering samples that have been sent out having a base clock of 3.1 and a 3.6 boost on that 3.1.
Man. Which
is incredible.
many lanes.
Yeah, I know.
All of my Zerglings.
Seriously. You do not have to construct additional pylons with that one.
No. But you could.
You can construct all the pylons.
Yes, and you can see every single one of them in a glorious high-def recognition when you get your StarCraft remastered. Blizzard Corner, by the way. Ars Technica, Blizzard put out a YouTube video. Ars Technica kind of dove into it a little bit further. Have officially announced the HD remake of StarCraft, the original StarCraft and Brood War. And also, the OG version is now free. Well, will be.
But the remastered one is not free, right?
Correct. But still, the number one played sport in South Korea, still StarCraft 1.
Didn't they drop it for StarCraft 2 already? Wasn't that recently? Or not recently, in the past couple
months? They did that for a while, and they stopped using StarCraft. Then it was StarCraft 2 kind of died, and then all the South Koreans started going back to StarCraft.
It's really because their computers over there are terrible.
Totally. Yeah, we'll go with that. All right, so we announced last week Journey to Un'Goro is definitely happening, and we have a whole bunch of card reveals to go over here. We're not a Hearthstone podcast, so we're not going to go over every single one of the reveals, so just kind of touching base here. We do have a Paladin Legendary, Sunkeeper Tareem, 6 mana, 3/7 Taunt, Battlecry. Set all other minions' attack and health to 3.
Which is insane if you have, like, Wisps.
Yes. Or a Murloc Paladin deck. Drop this guy. All of your Murlocs become at least 3/3, and then they get the bonus from that one Murloc that gives bonuses to every other Murloc.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what is his name?
That one Murloc.
Yeah, it gives, what is it? All Murlocs get +2/+2?
No, it's a +1/+1, I believe.
Oh, okay. But yeah.
Next. Sorry.
No, just saying that, I mean, we're not a Hearthstone podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, you want in-depth discussions on all these cards, including all of the cards? I'm just going to go over some of the ones that I've seen and that have crossed my purview here. But recommend the Angry Chicken at amove.tv/TAC if you're definitely wanting a number one Hearthstone podcast. Those guys are the best. Next up, a Priest Epic. Shadow Visions. Discover a copy of a spell in your deck. 2 mana. Boom.
Oh, wow.
Next up, Crystalline Oracle. 1 mana. Rare. 1/1. Elemental. Death Rattle. Copy a card from your opponent's deck and add it to your hand.
Oh, man. This is going to, like... Oh, man. The meta's going to be insane, isn't it?
Yeah, this meta is going to be real weird. Death Rattle Priest coming back, hopefully. I like Death Rattle Priest. Unite the Murlocs is the Shaman quest. Legendary quest. Quest, summon 10 Murlocs. Reward, Megafin. Don't know what Megafin is, but, you know. It's kind of a heads up on what the quest cards are going to look like.
It's like a fin, but it's a mega. It's big.
Yes, I'm going to guess it's a massive Murloc. the Shaman Legendary, Kalamos, Primal Lord, Elemental, 8 mana, 7/7 Battle Cry. If you've played an elemental last turn, cast an elemental invocation. They released what all the invocations were. However, I forgot to take screenshots of them. my bad.
Fail.
And every day there's like metric tons of them being released over on Hearthhead, Hearthpwn. Angry Chicken covers them every single week. So that's just ones that I wanted to cover real quick. No official release date yet for Journey to Un'Goro, but they've also not denied the April 16th or what is April 6th one from last week that we discussed.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be April for sure, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, it even says in the card packs before mid-April, so... Yeah. All right, what else do we got?
We've got BattleNet is being replaced. Pretty much,
what?
Yeah. Okay. Pretty much what they're doing is just they're dropping the BattleNet name.
Yeah, that's been a long time coming.
Yeah, instead of BattleNet Launcher, it's now just called the Blizzard Game Launcher.
As it should be.
And it's from one update to the next. They just took out BattleNet on top and put up Blizzard.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yep, it is. He's dead.
Yeah, which, I mean, they've, from what it started with back in, what was it, 95, 96?
Yeah, with Warcraft 3, I think. No, Diablo 2.
Was it Diablo? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and slowly and surely through the years, they've been making it better. Finally, the app launcher, or the game launcher, the chat. Being able to chat from people playing different games, different servers. And it's just...
It still kind of bothers me that nobody has an issue with the BattleNet / Blizzard launcher, but everybody hates Origin.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say next. It's like, they're doing the exact same thing. But for some reason, the Blizzard launcher just works better because it's not a form of DRM.
It really is, though. It's absolutely a form of DRM.
You can still launch all those games outside of the app. The app just can push it all in one place, so it's easier to switch between them.
Yeah.
You can't launch Heroes of the Storm without it. It loads up the BattleNet launcher, and I believe Hearthstone does on the PC as well.
Well, you still have to log in. Like, if you log them in outside of the launcher, you... Because once you log into the launcher...
Well, even Origin gives you EXEs that you can launch just from wherever you install them from. Same thing with Steam.
Hmm.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I don't like Origin. I'm just playing devil's advocate. It's always kind of bothered me, though, that, yeah, BattleNet was first. But why are people
completely... No, BattleNet wasn't first.
Before Origin.
Okay, no. But I'm talking about like the actual launcher.
Yeah, well, the BattleNet launcher was out before Origin's launcher.
Okay.
It's always kind of weirded me out that everybody's cool with BattleNet, but everybody hates Origin strictly for what it is.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, because you can't get any other games that are not Blizzard through that launcher.
At least Origin lets you get some third parties. Like, not many, but a few of them.
Yeah.
We should all just use Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of junk to shift through on Steam.
Yeah, that's true. Steam's not perfect.
No, but it's also been around for a while.
So have I, but that doesn't mean anything.
Agreed.
So, Resident WoW player, what do we have?
So patch 7.2 hits on Tuesday, for WoW. It is the next big numbered update that WoW has gotten. Key focus is going to be on the Broken Shore Zone. So we're finally going towards the Tomb of Sargeras, hence why it's called the Tomb of Sargeras update.
Oh, wow.
And now we're actually going back to where everyone died. Spoiler.
Well, okay. Only one person died there. One person died from the infection.
Yeah, but everybody still kind of died.
True.
Insides. People die because Tyrion was everybody's dad.
Oh, no, actually, that's right. Two people died on the shore.
Yeah. Spoilers. Tyrion was everybody's dad.
Yeah.
It's like if Soldier 76 died. Don't take away our game dads.
Stupid tutorial dads. Dying on us left and right.
Exactly. Disney movies all over again.
But yeah, players will be able to continue their class quests in the Broken Shore. And we will also gain access to the Cathedral of Eternal Night dungeon, which sounds dark.
Sounds like a 13-year-old made it.
Or an emo band.
But yeah, this sounds like a great emo band name.
I mean, this is Tomb of Sargeras, but this isn't the final raid yet, is it?
I think what the plan is that I've read is the last raid will be inside the portal. This is basically going to be taking the Legion out of Azeroth.
From the launch trailer, it looks like we're going to be fighting a very old enemy, Kil Jaeden.
Mm-hmm.
About time. Yeah.
Last time we saw him was Sunwell, wasn't it?
Yeah.
After we kicked him in the face.
Kill Jaden Smith is back, y'all. He's just gonna spit mad Twitter verses at you.
And he's angry.
And the raid is just all about trying to figure out what the hell they mean.
So yeah, it looks pretty exciting. I don't know if it's gonna be enough to get me back into it. Just because
I thought you were still playing well.
Mm-mm. I picked it up, and I still kind of follow it, but I never hit max level. Me and Raul were talking about it before you popped on, but
yeah, I've been clean for about like 6 months.
Oh, you mean Same. Wait? So I technically am further in Legion than you are.
Yeah,
because I got my Death Knight up to max.
Yeah, I haven't maxed any characters.
Huh. Wow. All right.
Yeah. My guild was dead, and I've been with that guild for a while, so I didn't feel like trying to find the new one.
Ah, yeah.
You know.
All right. So, on to tabletop news. I'm really excited about this, you guys. Paizo, the people who make Pathfinder and a bunch of other games, have announced that their newest IP, Starfinder, which is Pathfinder in space, exactly what you think it is, is getting its own organized play called Starfinder Society. It's Pathfinder has Pathfinder Society, so we're just going to make Starfinder Society. It kicks off at Gen Con 50 in Indianapolis in August. I will be there. I will be covering this because I am stupid excited about Starfinder because Pathfinder in space.
Nice.
When it comes around... if I can, I might do a one shot on the mana pool with it, with the book that I should be getting. So it'll be fun and exciting. I'm super excited to see it. Pathfinder does a lot of what a lot of games don't do, which is just kind of like just make things for our games, you guys. And if we like them, we'll put them on our store. So. Paizo's real well. I mean, admittedly, Pathfinder came out of the D&D 3.5 open gaming license debacle. So, you know, if they didn't do that, they'd be hypocrites. Hmm. But yeah, super, super excited. I know nobody else is, but yeah, I'm going to be covering Gen Con. And yes.
I mean, I would be excited about it, but I don't do Pathfinder. I don't have as many opportunities to do that.
Yeah, like I said, we'll do a mana pool of it and maybe a something here at the Geek.io studios. So before we get into the science portion of the show, and there's a lot of science, we are going to take another quick break from our sponsors and we'll be right back with reviews. Stay tuned. And we're back, and now it is time for some science!
Science!
Yes, this is our review segment where we kind of go over all of the things. I'm going to go last because I got a lot of stuff to talk about from PAX East. So we're going to go opposite this time. Delbert, what you got for review?
Hi. So, I have been playing Mass Effect Andromeda. I made the mistake of pre-ordering it through Green Man Gaming, which was a terrible idea because I got it 2 days late.
Oh, geez.
So, I got 10, 12 bucks off of it, which was worth it, I guess. But yeah, I've been doing Andromeda. I'm up, like, I just unlocked the second two planets you get into the game. The animations are as bad.
You know, say everybody still walks like penguins, right?
Yeah. The facial animations are as bad as everyone's saying. However, it only appears to be affecting the human characters.
It's a mutation. It's not a bug. It's not a bug.
It's a feature.
The low gravity is affecting the facial muscles.
No. It's clearly the whole being cryogenically frozen for 600 years. I mean, I'm sure the face wouldn't work very well after 600 years of sitting there in an ice cube. The first planet, unfortunately, the first like 4 or 5 hours of the game is a lot of exposition, which you come to expect from open world games. So that EA access
storyline glare at No Man's Sky.
I mean, usually there'd be story if there's a story to be had. the EA access portion of Andromeda cut off right before one of the major story missions in the first planet. So all the bad press about it being boring and all that was coming from literally the first 2 hours of the game.
I mean, not all of the bad press.
Not all of it, but a lot of it. A lot of the bad story stuff is from that opening, 4 hours of the game.
Still not real good. I'm not going to lie. Not a lot of good reviews for this game so far.
I mean, a game has to get its hooks into kind of early. Like, I want to be, like, hooked on this game by, like, hour two.
Like you were with the original Mass Effect games.
Actually, I started on 2.
Yeah, that's where I started as well and went back and played 1. I got about halfway through 2, and I'm like, man, I kind of want to know what's going on with the rest of these characters, so I went back and played 1 and just carried my Shepard through 3.
Yeah, that's what everyone did.
Well, it's because 2 was packaged with Dragon Age 2 at the time, I remember. So, like, that got its hooks on me, but 2 captured me really quickly.
Actually, let's see. I got Mass Effect because I stood in line on Black Friday to get an Xbox 360 with Mass Effect and Call of Duty.
Yep. Fair.
True.
I can get Mass Effect right now on PC for $20.
Yeah. Don't make yourself feel too bad.
I'll probably wait for it to go on sale.
Yeah, from what I've heard, it's Andromeda's gotten panned everywhere, so it's dropped 24%.
Yeah, that on its first week, that's what I was reading. That
I don't know. Like, I mean,
one of our streamers, Miguel, is actually getting rid of his. So,
yeah, people built it up a lot, so they were expecting Half-Life 3.
Oh.
Unlike, when Half-Life 3 is announced, this will be, it'll be big too, but I mean, this is a known quantity. So, I mean, it's not really people shouldn't have gotten their hopes up for this.
Well, no, I mean, it is a known quantity, but at the same time, it's not. It was a brand new start. They're likening it to the original Mass Effect as being like a new launching point, like having that feeling of the first one.
Yeah, you don't get to play that game though.
But didn't Didn't the third one kind of end on a bad?
They fixed it.
Well, yeah, they released DLC to fix it.
Free DLC, which good on them.
Yeah,
just putting that up. BioWare did not charge you for the real ending of the game.
But they rewrote the ending of the game because fans were mad at it.
Which means they listened to fans.
True.
Again, I'm enjoying playing Devil's Advocate today. That's all.
Yeah, no, I get you.
More on Metacritic right now.
Yeah, it's still good. I'm like I said, I'm getting to it. I haven't gotten too much into the story aside from what I've been told through the cutscenes. The facial animations are kind of in the way. I'm hoping that gets a quick patch, because I know it's just a syncing issue. It's not
patch.
Yeah, it's big enough that they probably have a patch in the works for it. Because, I mean, like I said, it only seems to happen with the humans. A lot of the alien characters, the lip syncing and everything syncs up very well. With the humans, it's basically like watching one of those old Chinese movies that's been redubbed.
Nice.
Oh.
So, like the mouth is moving a certain way and the voice comes out a little bit later. Jeez. So it syncs up to the subtitles well, but that's the only syncing that works. The animation not synced up properly. The locales are pretty. I'll definitely give it that.
Okay.
So I'm hoping to see a lot more of what's happening in the rest of the game. Like I said, I just got to the second planet, so I haven't gotten too far into it. But currently it is a 3 out of 5 for me. It's still Mass Effect. It's still a different take on it. I love the world building they're doing, because they are building a new galaxy. I mean, at least with the Milky Way, they had stuff. They can be like, look, here's Earth. Woo! We don't know anything about Andromeda. So.
Yeah. All right. So what are you giving it?
Mine is a 3 out of 5 right now. I'm probably going to do a final review next week, just after I get a couple more hours into it and see what the other planets are like.
Fair.
You know, once it opens up to the actual open world we were expecting.
Yeah.
But currently it is a 3 out of 5.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad. Raul, what you got for us?
Okay. I've got, it's all going to be Switch games. Imagine that.
I'm wrong with that.
Yeah. Okay. I've been playing two-player Blaster Master.
This game looks so much fun.
Yes. And I'm playing it two players with a friend of mine who remembers playing the original.
Yeah, that's the reason why I'm in on it. But then again, I got burned by Bomberman for this as well. Okay. I own Blaster Master, the OG on NES, and I love to have everyone help.
And it's just not a straight port. They've redone it.
Oh, yeah. Like, I watched Team 4-Star did a stream of it, and I watched that, and like that sold me. Like,
yeah, they completely remastered the entire thing. And it works with the you turn the controller sideways.
Mm.
And first player controls the actual game, plays the game normally. Second player is just a reticule and just shoots. It does about maybe 1 or 2 points of damage, but it's there. Yeah. The more you kill enemies, you charge your special, which is you can drop ammo, recharge weapons, and also health. So you're able to help out your teammate.
And you get a nifty little black hole that absorbs bullets.
Yes, absorbs bullet, the void grenade. That is very helpful. And we've just been like destroying bosses, because you put it right there where they're about, in front of their cannon or whatever they're going to shoot, negates the whole attack. We've taken down bosses like if they were nothing. Bless the Master, just for the fun of playing it, I've got it at a 4 out of 5.
There you go.
So yeah, it's a fun game. Next up, I picked up Fast RMX, which is
the F-Zero clone that we all thought was F-Zero when we saw it at the...
Yeah. It pretty much is F-Zero.
Yeah, I got this as well, and I'm with you. It is basically, if you wanted F-Zero, you got F-Zero.
Yeah, the only thing is that, I mean, they drop you straight... Well, I guess it's like Mario Kart, where they just drop you straight into the races. But it does have a little bit of a learning curve on it, because it's not like your traditional racing games, because you have to use the bumpers to be able to move left and right, so you're kind of like always drifting.
Yeah.
And there's a switch mechanic where if you're on a pad that's the same color as your vehicle, it'll give you a boost. And if it's not, you get no boost. So you got to switch between orange and blue.
No boost for you.
Yeah, no boost for you. Yeah, and it's a great game, but I've only done single player. I have not given a chance with multiplayer yet. So, I did. I played two matches online, and I got no lag, smooth gameplay. It's a good starter game for $20. It's not a bad game, so that gets a 3 out of 5 from me.
Yeah, if you want, I mean, I give it pretty much the same, maybe a 3.5. I actually really like it. If you're trying to just wet your whistle until Mario Kart comes out, this is absolutely like the perfect game for it.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because as soon as Mario Kart comes out, this thing's not going to sell anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, this game is shovelware once Mario Kart comes out next month.
On the 28th. That's going to be great. And this weekend, Splatoon had their global test fire. They had, yeah. I believe it was what, 1, 2, 3, 6. They had 6 1-hour demos.
Yeah.
Which I played on Saturday afternoon, and I did not realize Splatoon was so much fun.
Oh, that's right. You never played the one on the Wii U.
No. Yeah,
Splatoon on the Wii U is one of the best games on the Wii U, and even possibly, like, probably my favorite shooter of the entire last generation. This was just as good. Like,
yeah. And I mean, it was just straight matchmaking, and you could choose one of four weapons. It was the dual pistols, the dualies, the roller, the regular Splatoon squirt, and you also got the, what was the other one? The sniper rifle.
Yeah, I can see myself meaning the sniper rifle.
But like, as once you played a couple rounds, and they're 3-minute rounds, so it's like something, okay, I got an hour before work, I'll put some games in.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no overtime. Yeah. And like, you start seeing strategies like, okay, with the dualies, I'll shoot in front of me, and then I'll go down, go squid to the end of it, and then just do it again.
Yep.
And you gotta keep moving in that game, and then you see that roller come up behind you and just splat.
Yep.
And the jump mechanic is amazing. I love it.
Yes.
Where you can jump in right on your teammate and help him out.
Yeah, they did. They did a lot of improvements on from Splatoon 1 to this. I'm stoked. I'm so excited for this. The Switch is just knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, the only thing is disable the motion controls by default.
Yes. I was trying to figure out what was going on because my kids are big Splatoon. They played the hell out of Splatoon 1, and I got them into the global test fire for this one, and they're like, "Why is the controller just going crazy?" And I'm like, "Oh." Freaking motion controls.
And the thing is that you couldn't change it in match. You had to wait until you were at the weapon. You had to exit weapon selection and then hit plus to get to the menu.
Yep.
And as soon as that, I was like, oh, so much easier.
Like, same thing with Breath of the Wild. Okay, Switch, Nintendo, let's not keep having games have motion controls on by default.
Like, in Breath of the Wild, there's like a few puzzles that you need motion control, but that's because that's how the puzzle is designed.
Like I did.
What's that?
Not if you cheat it like I did.
What did you do?
I basically got on so I could jump onto the stupid little platform and push the ball to the edge of it. I stasis it and just like knocked it to where it was supposed to go.
Well, I mean, that's the thing when you're playing a physics game like this, there's no one way to do something.
Exactly.
Like, I did a puzzle, and then I saw a streamer do the exact same puzzle, completely different than the way that I did it. So, yeah. So, Splatoon, just a test fire on how much fun I had with it, gets a 5 out of 5. And that's only from 1 hour of playing.
I absolutely agree with you. I was able to get into two of them, and yeah, it doesn't get, like, 2 hours in, it doesn't get any worse. So yeah,
I know there was a single player with the first one, right?
Yeah, and there'll be single player and local co-op as well, or local versus in this as well. Once the game launches.
Yeah, I heard that the single player game was actually not bad. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty solid. I mean, a lot of it just boiled down to
training you for multiplayer.
Play, Yeah, it was bots, basically.
Ah.
But I mean, that's pretty much any shooter that is multiplayer mainly. There wasn't a lot of story to be had.
Oh, okay.
All right. So before I get into my pack stuff, I picked up Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh.
And because I beat Breath of the Wild, I'm like, I need another massively open game for me to play. I played the Baby Alloy part, and then that's what I'm going to do this review on. Super stupid gorgeous. This game looks freaking amazing. Controls are tight. The voice acting is a little off, but not too bad. Scenery is just something I can't wait to lose myself in. Just really quick, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5, but just strictly this is strictly for the Baby Aloy first hour-ish.
The off names don't bother you?
Oh, like the Alloy and Rust? No, I don't care about those.
Okay.
You know, those are, I mean, as to be expected in a world that is owned by machines, like people, I mean, as can be seen with people with names like Smith and, oh, I don't know, Boat. Those are relics of a bygone age where you were named for certain things that were relevant at that time. I mean, as can be seen with this. So it just kind of continues on. It's exactly what I could see. The one thing I like about it is exactly seems to be what would happen, what I feel would actually happen if this actually happened. Yeah. Humans got so advanced and just ripped down to shreds.
I've heard the story, like, get further in, it gets a lot better.
Really
does. From what I've seen from streamers and all that, it's amazing. But
whoa. Delbert, is he going robot for you too?
Nah, a little bit.
What?
Okay.
I'm going robot? Oh, okay, wait, give me a second.
Yeah, you went robot for a second. You went, the story is...
All right, that should be a little bit
better.
We're
on to him. We're on to him, CJ.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not a robot anymore, right?
Real long here, shortly. No, you're not a robot.
Oh, okay, all right.
So the story as you get along...
Yeah, the story as you go along, I hear that it gets more interesting and more in-depth. But yeah, that's a game I'm gonna have to add to my backlog.
Yeah, I mean, I the only reason why I'm playing it right now is because, like I said, I beat Zelda today.
And you want another game that you can shoot things with a bow and arrow?
Basically, yeah. I mean, and so I mean, it works for me. but yeah, 4 out of 5 for the Baby Aloy stuff. So, all right,
the Legend of Aloy.
Yeah, Aloy is great. I love Aloy. She's strong little beastie girl.
She gets better when she gets older.
I can't wait. I literally had to shut it off because I know I'm going to lose myself in that game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's I'm losing
myself in that game.
I mean, it's Zelda, but more stealthy, and yes.
And giant robots that can eat your face.
I had to not pick this up at launch because I knew if I did, I wouldn't pick up the Switch.
Yeah.
I knew.
I like where I heard one video that it would have been Game of the Year if it didn't come out the same year as Zelda.
Before the Switch, before Zelda.
Yeah.
That put a nail in the fact of it being Game of the Year, just coming out 3 days before Breath of the Wild.
It will most likely be Game of the PlayStation, though.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Either that or Persona.
Yeah, depending on how good Persona is. Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
same.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. So yeah, I'm depending on how good Persona is, I still think this might take it though, because especially with the year being ruled by Breath of the Wild, which might be one of my favorite games I've ever played. It is so, like, I seriously, like, and I've played, I've owned every system since the 2600, pretty much, and including the ones that didn't work so well. I've played a lot of games in my 30-something years on this planet, and that might be one of my favorite games I've ever played. All right, so, we ready to go deep dive into PAX East?
Into the deep end.
Yep. Let's go.
No, it took me 2 weeks. One, because I was so tired last week from traveling to South Carolina and everything like that. And I wanted to give each of these its own fair share. Now, bear in mind, each of these was on a convention floor, and minus a couple of them, I only had a limited time with them because it's a convention, and that's what happens. So I played Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition. I never played Bulletstorm the original. So I saw that this had a big booth at PAX East, and I was working there for Greater Than Games. They invited me to work for them to do some of their MC and also some of their game demo stuff. So exhibitors get in an hour early. I decided to use that time to be able to play games before I actually had to get to work. So I walked by the Bulletstorm, and I heard Duke Nukem's voice. I heard Duke Nukem's voice, and I like my ears perked up like a dog. You called its name, and I'm like, what is this? So I walk over and they're like, yeah, you want to play Bulletstorm? I'm like, hell yeah, I want to play Bulletstorm. And then I grabbed a dude with a laser lasso and kicked him in the nuts so hard he exploded.
Yes. I remember picking this game up and it was amazing.
And then I'm just like, then I literally out loud just screamed, shut up and take my money. Like, and the dude, and one of the dudes who was working there just starts, he loses it over my shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, it's a point-based game. This is a remake of the original, right?
Yeah, it's basically the Game of the Year edition. It has all of the original ones, but the thing is not just that. They're not just stopping at that. They're actually releasing DLC strictly for Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition, and also it has Duke Nukem in it.
It's about damn time.
And it is the OG Duke Nukem. Like, it is the original PC 2.5D shooter Duke Nukem. And it obviously just kind of made pretty. But, oh my God, I cannot state how happy I was to play this game. It was so much fun. I did not want to put it down. The only thing is because the demo, I for some reason decided to pick one of the contest ones. So it was in the hardest mode. And basically it was, if you can get through this, you'll be entered in a contest. If you get this many points, you'll instantly win the contest. I got through the demo and the guy on my shoulder goes, how did you play the original? Didn't you? I go, nope. He goes, huh. All right. but basically if you die once, the thing is with that mode, if you die once, it erases your save data. They do not play around. It is hardcore to the max. So it's like, yep, I played it, I beat it, and yeah, guys like, all right. So I got a t-shirt, I got a pin, and I got the PR reps name and information, so you know. I might be trying to do some streaming of Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition here soon, but I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5, and I don't give it a 5 out of 5 because hard mode's hard, y'all.
Which was I say, have they had a release date yet?
Yes, it is definitely something. Hold on, I will check my email that I got today on it.
Sometime in the next 10 years.
No, probably. I think it's this month. Where is my Bulletstorm? Email. It's amazing how many, apparently, emails I get that have the word bullet in it. comes out sometime. Definitely some. Definitely. April 7th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For all major consoles, PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox?
Yep. Yep, PC, Xbone, PS4, all of the above. And I am so stoked for it. Next is a pre-alpha game from a independent developer called Deckbound. And basically, I saw the word Deckbound, and I'm like, I bet that's a card game, and I'm going to play it. So I go over to it. Fully expecting a Hearthstone ripoff. I'm like, I did this with Elder Scrolls Legends last year. I'm like, all right, this is going to be a flat out Hearthstone ripoff. Cool. There's two Deckbound games, Deckbound Heroes and Deckbound Something else. I don't remember what the one was, but that game, it wasn't working. All the computers that they had running that game crashed for some reason, and they couldn't get it up. That's what she said. But the theory behind Deckbound is the two games work in tandem. You get cards from the main game where you actually play the decks, and in Deckbound Heroes, you basically level the cards up. However, if you get a status effect that is permanent on your cards and heroes, that carries back over to the original game.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is. They work completely together. The story, and also to get the actual, I read the storyline, to get the actually pretty fluid and full storyline, you have to play both of them. But they're free to play games, so no worries. But yeah, so you have to play both of them in order to get the whole experience of it. But I got to play Heroes, and it is a lot of fun. It is basically kind of like do either of you guys remember the Power Stone games from Dreamcast?
Vaguely.
It's kind of like those, but with like giant lizard people and mages and stuff. I'm going to give, again, because it is pre-alpha, I can only judge it so much. I'm going to give what I played a 3 out of 5. It was a lot of fun. Once it gets more updated and working, I'm going to, I'm definitely going to play this again. Next game, I'm going to talk about a couple of TCGs here. First off, I'm going to talk about an Australian game called Final War. It is a army-based TCG tradable card game that is both has its own standard decks and also booster packs and such to play. Either elves, which are fast and, you know, deal magic-y damage, undead, which has werewolves, vampires, and things like that, which are all about board control, or the Assassin's League, which is all about just murdering your opponent. And basically, you play one of those, and you just kind of go off in a giant TCG battle, and it's a lot of fun. I actually played this game enough that they gave me a copy of the game, several booster packs, and invited me to their tournament in at Gen Con. And if I win the tournament at Gen Con, I get to go to Australia. And I have a chance of winning $25,000. So, yeah.
Read up.
But I got that because I just kept playing the game over and over again. And eventually I had the designer of the game. His name is Simon. He's a really great guy. He's like, all right, I want to play you. You take this deck and I'll take this deck and we'll see what happens. And I beat him. And I felt so good about beating him. So they're like, yep, here, take this. Take this giant box, take a bunch of these booster packs, and we'll see you in Indianapolis. I'm like, we'll see you in Indianapolis. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. It's a lot of fun. It's hard to get a 5 out of 5 for a TCG, though, by the way, because learning curves and things like that. There's a fair chance that I will never give a trading card game a perfect score. Next TCG I'm going to talk about is Phoenix Covenant. I saw this and a big sign labeled it as Magic the Gathering meets Final Fantasy Tactics. Anybody who knows me, knowledge of me, make you realize that's how you get me to a table. You could have put a stealth mechanic in there and I would have been there even faster. I probably would have bolted to it. But it's a lot of fun where basically it's another army versus army kind of thing. And basically, it's exactly as it sounds. It is Final Fantasy Tactics. You start with certain people, classes, and you put them on a grid, and you attack your opponent with Magic the Gathering style cards, basically just trying to break their base down. I played a couple of games of this, and it is a lot of fun, though. I don't think I got the full experience of it because I think the guy who was training, who was doing the demos of the game, was just learning it himself. So I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 until I can give it another play. It has a lot of potential. I could see myself playing that game a lot, but I just need to actually be able to learn the game proper. next game I'm going to talk about is another TCG. It is called JRPG, the card game. It's another pre-alpha game from Fun to 11. And it is a JRPG in a card game. You pick a class, fighter, cleric, rogue, black mage, and you complete quests. And quests get progressively harder, and eventually you have end up fighting the boss to either free or lose the princess forever. And it is a episodic-based game, depending on how a how a scenario goes, is how the next game. You may not have a relic. You may have your god's power sealed from you, so your cleric is useless.
And this is a pre-constructed, or
It's a pre-constructed. It's a pre-constructed. Okay. Basically, the base game will come out with six classes. Right now, they only have four. But then again, they're just working. They're still working on everything, getting it all together. It's not even a, the Kickstarter hasn't even been launched for it yet.
Oh, okay.
They were there with Unpub, so they do a lot of game testing and things like that there. So, Blade, I'm going to give it 3 out of 5. It's a lot of fun. It is 8-bitty goodness. They have the, all of the cards are look more like boss monster kind of cards, where everything is 8-bit and retro and fun. And it's completely cooperative, so it's fun to play a cooperative card game every so often.
Nice.
Final tabletop game I'm going to talk about is Fate of the Elder Gods from Greater Than Games. I did demos of this all packs. This was the game that I demoed. So at this point, I'm fairly sure I'm a master at it, which means that when I get it from the Kickstarter, I'm probably not going to be allowed to play it with anybody else. Because I played about 100 games of it over the weekends. So I'm going to have to probably, with the Gamer Geeks when that comes in, have a bunch of people come and me not play and just kind of be the MC of it.
Okay, it's already ended, right?
Yeah, you can still do the pre-order of it. It's basically, it's going to be launched late July, come Gen Con at latest. But basically, the entire point of it is you are a bunch of cultists trying to summon your god to the mortal plane before the weak, pathetic mortals that are playing alongside of you have the opportunity to do so. And it has the Cthulhu, it has the Yog-Sothoth. It has, you know, a whole bunch. It has basically all of your Lovecraftian mythos in there. And basically you just go through trying to kill people, use your god's power, magic your way to the top. And it's a lot of fun, but it's a long game. That's the only thing I'm going to say about it. It is a long game. Even the demo took almost an hour to play, and that was a watered down version of the game. So this is one you are going to have to put some time together to play. This is not a waiting for your friends to come over kind of game. But that being said, I enjoyed every single game I played of it. I played almost 100 games of the game. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5, and no, they're not paying me. But yeah, I will probably, depending on everything and when it comes in, I might bring it to Dragon Con with us. Because it is, it's just genuinely a lot of fun, and I kind of want more people to play it. And as can be said with most of the Greater Than Games games, as Delbert can state, you know, I try and shove Sentinels of the Multiverse at everybody who comes in my front door. So next game, final game that I'm going to talk about is Final Fantasy XIV Stormblood. I got to play a little bit of this at PAX East.
Oh, this every is Final year, Fantasy 14 MMO.
Yeah, this online. Is the new expansion coming out. Oof. And the pre-release was at, a demo of it was at PAX. And basically, if you completed the dungeon, you got a cool t-shirt from it. And what happened?
What happened, CJ? You cut out there.
Am I back?
Yeah.
Okay. That was weird. So I'm going to get into a little story here before we get into my rating of it, because this was by and far my best experience at PAX. Maybe second only to Dragon Con's panel last year, my favorite convention ever. And I might even beat that, because here goes. I'm in line to play this at the exhibitor hour. So I go up to the line, and it's to basically just get a pass and a t-shirt stating that, hey, Final Fantasy Brave Exvius has brought you this game. So I'm like, cool. And I look over, and there is the game director of Final Fantasy XIV, Yoshi P, standing right there. And I'm like, huh. All right, I'm just going to go over and wish him good morning and bow and, you know, maybe take a picture. I go over and bow, and I know about enough Japanese to say, good morning, how are you? And apparently I told him I like his shoes. And he knows not as much English as to say, thank you for telling me you like my shoes. So we're over there, and his translator's off talking to somebody else, because it's before the show starts. He's not there doing any kind of... I'm like, I'm not going to go up to him, ask him a bunch of questions or anything like that. I just honestly wanted to go up to a guy who made one of my favorite MMOs and just say, thank you. So we did that, and he goes, you want to play game with me? Game? Yes, game. Stormblood. Yes, Stormblood. Sure. So I walk around the corner, and I begin playing Stormblood with Yoshi P. He picks his favorite class, which I've learned is the Scholar. And I pick the Samurai, because, F it, it's the Samurai. And we go through the dungeon. And Raul can speak for this. I get into the zone when I'm focusing on games, especially in a public area. And yes, it's another one of those kind of things, Raul. So I finish this. And it's a wide open area. Everybody can watch you doing this. And normally it's four people taking on this, but it's me and Yoshi taking on this entire dungeon. And he dies through the final boss pretty quickly. He forgot to move out of the poop because somebody distracted him. So I'm there as the samurai, the tank, just like, all right, cool. Let's do this thing. And so I end up tanking the final boss, which is supposed to take a four-person team to take down. It takes me almost an hour to do it, but I end up Dark Knighting him down to kind of like how Death Knight solo tank, which is run away and heal yourself a lot. Yeah. Samurai's can. So I run away, heal myself a lot, keep running back and forth, dodging the poop and everything like that. And an hour later, he's sitting on the couch laughing, and I turn around, and there's like 150, 200 people standing behind me.
Oh,
and I just fall on my ass. I'm just like, so I have a picture somewhere on my camera of Yoshi P holding my hand up, giving me the champion thing, and another picture taken of everybody in the audience clapping, and I just kind of duck around the corner, just kind of hiding for a good 45 minutes after that. Because I am an anxiety-riddled person. Especially when I'm not anticipating it. Raul had this kind of thing with me when I turned around and saw like 20 people behind us playing Mortal Kombat X.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was similar to that, but like 5 to 10 times more people standing behind me.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't pay attention to anybody. Like, I heard them announce the PAX East floor is open. And I'm like, cool, that's great. I'm doing this boss thing.
Yeah, he probably just sat back and just, like, enjoyed watching someone enjoy his game.
Oh, yeah. Like, the translator finally is, like, stopped freaking out because Yoshi wandered off without him.
Oh, yeah. As a translator, you don't want to lose your...
Yeah, you don't want to lose your charge when you're the translator. Bad things happen at that point usually, but eventually he comes back around, and they're both sitting on the couch just watching me. And yeah, so oh my god, you guys, Stormblood is so gorgeous and amazing and really 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 good.
Good.
I got to play a little bit of the Red Mage as well, because they're like, hey, now that you've done this, we have two other computers set up for our testers. Come play the other game, so this way you're actually hiding and not a bunch of people are going to appear behind you. Like, okay, thank you. Because I felt I was going to die. So I'm going to give Final Fantasy XIV Stormblood and oh my god, why aren't you out so I can resub to this game? I don't care what the situation is at the time. I'm buying this damn game. 7.5 out of 5.
Oh, wow. I think it's a little bit colored by the experience, but okay.
A little bit, but definitely it's 5 out of 5 game or expansion. Like, it is obvious that they went deep into expanding the lore on it. And when I was able to sit down and play the Red Mage silently without, you know, a mob behind me, it was still just a lot of fun. The new areas are gorgeous and well-defined. The music is as what you would come to expect if you play any Final Fantasy game, orchestral and massive, and you feel like you're actually making an impact on the world.
Wow.
So, yeah. 5 out of 5. I can't wait for this expansion to come out. I'm not currently playing 14, but I will be. I will be definitely picking this up without a question.
Maybe I'll jump back into it.
I highly recommend it.
Because I skipped the last expansion.
Heavensward.
Yeah.
From what I could tell, you don't need the Heavensward stuff to be able to get into the Stormblood stuff. It starts at level 50, which is where the Realm Reborn stuff ends. So basically, you can, if you want the classes from Heavensward, the Ninja, the Dark Knight, and the Scholar, which are 3 best classes.
So do they just give you like a level 50 if you buy Stormborn or Stormblood? No.
You have to level up to 50 in order to access any of the Stormblood stuff, which includes unlocking the classes.
Oh, okay.
The upside is once you unlock the classes, they start at 50.
Oh, okay.
Unlike the 3 classes with Heavensward, they started at level 1. These classes start at level 50 once you unlock them.
Okay.
But you have to do a group quest a pretty epic group quest to unlock them.
Okay.
It is not a solo mission. So yeah, if you want to pick it up, I would highly suggest picking up 14 base and at least getting up to 50 before, you know, if you really want to play a samurai or a red mage.
Yeah, well, I have a bard.
Okay.
So I played it plenty when it came out. I just stopped playing before.
What's the name of it?
What, Final Fantasy 14?
Yeah, it's just Realm Reborn? Okay.
You'll see it as Final Fantasy 14 and Realm Reborn. That's because Square Enix realized that they messed up big time on 14 base game. And then the tsunami happened, and they're like, hey, you guys, the tsunami totally wiped out our entire servers or something. And here's the new game.
Look, guys, we made a thing.
It's cool that they actually storylined how 14 became a Realm Reborn. They just flat out like did this epic battle scene where they literally annihilated the old game and the realm was reborn. And they referenced the original game as well. Like from what I could tell, if you have an original character, like you are mentioned as a hero of light and things like that, which is what they call the original characters.
I thought that it didn't matter. I didn't play the base game, but like I played through the storyline of 14, and it was like, you are the hero of light.
They basically treat you a little bit different because you have a mark on you from the war.
Hmm.
It's not like they don't treat you as like gods or anything like that, but anybody who, like any of the faction leaders that existed in the last realm, know that you were there as well. So yeah, buy it. I mean, the game itself is really good. Like for an MMO, like unless you are anti-MMO, it's one of my favorite MMOs. The only issue that I have is they still cost money to play.
I'm looking. It looks like there's a free trial.
Yeah, you get 30 days when you buy the game.
Oh, let's see. How much is the actual game? I think it's on Steam, right?
Yeah, it's on Steam.
30 last time I saw it.
Yeah, I think the base game is 30. I want to say.
Oh, that's a $30 for 1 month. That's not too bad.
No. And if you like it, I mean, you can continue to pick up on it. It's $12, I believe.
I think it's $12.99. So
it's less than WoW. And the cool thing is you still get like rewards the longer you're subscribed.
Mm.
So not just like WoW, where you just basically are treated with the reward of being able to continue to play the game. They actually make you feel like you are, because they do this cool thing where they storyline everything, including the reason why you keep getting these rewards sent to you, because in the game you're enlisted to companies. So you're enlisted to this company for longer periods of time. So they just keep rewarding you with better and better stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah. They did a really good job with 14.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Realm Reborn 14, not the,
I
played the base one after the tsunami hit and they released it free for a couple of weeks. Which is basically just it was the backup version. So the servers were really weak and janky. But even then I'm like, yeah, this is not good.
Yeah. The story in Realm Reborn is really strong.
Yes. If you're going to play on, Diablos, I believe it is where I'm going to be going to after Stormblood comes out.
And that comes out what, next month?
No, it's June.
June. Okay.
You have plenty of time to get started.
Yeah, you have plenty of time to get started and get up to 50. It doesn't take terribly long to level, especially if you get with a group.
Yeah.
How's the solo game?
It's fine. Like, unless you, like, you'll see things that are clearly labeled groups. And other than that, you just keep playing the story mode. Like, it has a really depth, like, deep story mode.
And if you're good, you can still take those groups by themselves.
If you're the right class.
Yeah.
Archer, Dragoon, and Ninja. Like even tanks. Like, I had a hard time taking a couple of the quests as, like, my warrior, because they still hit faster than my healing items keep popping up cooldowns. So,
yeah, I think I started as a Lancer and was having issues, so I re-rolled as an Archer and did the same mission.
That's fair.
You just, literally, I was able to run away the entire, like, I spent the entire thing running in circles.
Yep, kiting! The thing is with this one, cool, like, another thing is, because it's a class-based system, if you don't like the class that you play, cool. Once you get to level 10 of that class, you can just be like, all right, I'm going to talk to this guy over there. Poof, you're now a different class.
Yeah, but you start that class over at 1, right?
Yeah, you start that class at level 1, but there's a storyline for each class.
Oh.
So you're not just going through Durotan over and over and over again on different classes. Each class is going to send you to different areas and do different things with fully voiced videos.
And there's like a hunting log too, so it gets you through the first 5 levels super quick. So you get to the story missions of your class a little bit faster.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, just talking about it now, I'm just like, all right.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on Steam, and it says, without a previous Windows version of Final Fantasy 14 registered, may receive 30 days free game time. So I might be able to play this for a month free.
There you go.
So I'm going to give that a try.
It's worth it.
I mean, wait for it. We might do some stuff online for it on our, you know, we're planning on doing stuff with, now that we have a stream team, kind of. that might be one of the games that we stream. But we're going to go ahead and wrap this bad boy up. You can reach us at geekioshow@gmail.com. Make sure you put GamerGeeks in the subject line. Facebook, Twitter, all of the social medias are all /geekioshow, including Twitch and YouTube. Our Geek Hotline, where you can call us and leave us a voicemail, are 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK. You can support this show and every show on the Geek.io network at patreon.com/geek.io. Make sure you tune into this show live Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern. And make sure you subscribe, follow our, I have to not use the word subscribe for Twitch. Make sure you follow our Twitch channel, which all of our live shows are going to be broadcast there, including stuff that you won't normally see on our YouTube channel, like apparently a cooking show that I'm doing every week, because I got a lot of good feedback about the cooking show.
Because reasons.
Because apparently people like watching me cook. I don't know. Apparently I'm funny.
By the way,
Yeah, Rachel loved my frittatas that I made last week, but you're only going to find that on twitch.tv/geekioshow. On that note, guys, we're out of here. We'll see you next week. Good game.
See you guys.
GG.
This has been a Geekio Media Network production. Copyright 2017.